You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. You can go to NewChurches.com, download the exclusive state of research.
I just have to interrupt
research.
So we stay with our theme.
I lost my focus.
But you couldn't make it to the end. Sorry.
Well, you can download the report and also join
Plus membership
as well.
And there's music playing right now. You're telling me there's music playing right now.
There is music right now.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the music. What's the music? Is it like the theme from Mission Impossible? That would be awesome.
So
if we play, I probably just broke a copyright law by doing that, didn't I? So I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the way you impersonated that theme music wasn't that
it
good,
didn't seem so. At all no, similar yeah, to Mission so. Impossible. All right, sorry.
Right on. Well, you know, we're going to read a review on iTunes from GolferGuy64.
Wow.
And he gave us 5 stars, and he said, great resources for churches at any stage.
Nice.
Now, what I love about that is our hope here is not that we would only serve church planters, but that we would be serving churches who want to multiply, people in campus ministry or multi-site ministry, and really pastors,
I didn't
leaders.
Care about all that sort of stuff. I think it's good that you did. No, I do care about all that stuff. That's awesome.
So this is what he said. What an amazing podcast, relevant to growing churches or just improving the one you're at. Pearls of wisdom from a group that's seen speed bumps and upcoming trends. Thanks for the info. Now, what's neat about that, Richard is actually today, not Richard, GolferGuy64.
Is that his name?
Richard actually submits a question today about growth barriers.
Sweet. So GolferGuy, we don't know who GolferGuy is.
No, we don't know.
Are we giving him something? You didn't say you're going to give him something. What are you giving him?
A Moleskine, New Churches Moleskine
notebook. If he listens and emails, how does he email you?
Daniel@newchurches.com.
There you go. Boom. Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. So back to away from GolferGuy
to Richard. Let's listen to his question.
Hi, my name is Richard. I'm presently full-time as a co-lead planter of our church. We planted our church just over 2.5 years ago in downtown Toronto, Canada. Our context is urban and largely post-Christian. Our church plant has grown steadily to around a consistent 125 people with diversity in ethnicities and a good mix of students, young professionals, and young families. My question is this. As a 2.5-year-old church plant, we seem to have plateaued at the 125 mark. Can you give any input as to what are the common leadership and organizational challenges and changes needed in order to grow from 125 to 200? Thanks.
Now, what's neat about Richard's question is we actually, in episode 11, talked about the different growth barriers in church planting. We talked about breaking through the 35, 75, 125, and 200 barriers. So for a fuller discussion, you can go back to episode 11 and hear more about that. But today, Richard's question is focusing on that 125 mark. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so kind of a complicated question in some ways because Toronto, let's start with Toronto. So, of course, he's in Canada. There's more people who are foreign-born in Toronto than there are Canadian-born in Toronto. So Vancouver's the same. So you've got this multicultural milieu. I think you said Richard was with Every Nation, which is a charismatic movement of churches that has a real focus on campus ministry. So, and downtown Toronto is a campus ministry mecca, or campus mecca at least. Mm-hmm. So you've probably got, he's already mentioned, multicultural expression, students. Okay, so there's a lot going on there that, I mean, just what little we know. All right, so then we look at the organizational issue. Now, he's sort of saying that they're stuck at the 125 barrier. Very, very common. We looked at the 35 barrier, the 75, the 125, and the 200 in our earlier episode 11, you said?
Yeah, episode 11.
All right, so 125, pretty common place, because what happens is to get past the 125 requires a new approach to leadership. And one of the biggest shifts, now I should say, I wrote my DMin dissertation on basically the breaking the 125 barrier.
Okay.
Now, before I did the PhD, I did DMin at Beeson Divinity School, had a great experience. And so what it became was largely a systems approach. It was leading the long title, leading the people of Mill Creek Community Church to value and participate in a program of assimilation, leading to greater ministry engagement or something horrible.
Well, you need a long title for a thesis, right?
Exactly. It was terribly long though. Okay, so
what all in caps locks.
Exactly. What we had to do was first change the culture. And in changing the culture, we needed people to move, because we had grown up, we had a core, 25, 30 people. We needed the other 100 people who were coming in and out, which really adds up to probably 200 people coming in and out. We needed them to intentionally take ownership. There were 25, 30 people who called it our church, and then there were another 100 to 200 people who called it the church or Ed's church or those kind of things. So part of it is to change the culture and get to a sense of ownership. Now, Richard may already have a membership class that helps with that, a process that moves people along. That's pretty standard now.
Oh, for sure.
We've actually written some on Victory Manila and what they do, which is same part of the same family of churches. People could find that if they Google my name in Victory Manila. We talk about their process. But I would work on changing the culture to have a higher buy-in and try to get to 100 people who have buy-in. Because if you got 125 people coming weekly, you probably have 25, 30 people with buy-in and then 100 or 200 without it. Yeah. So culturally, try to shift 100 to buy-in. But then structurally, you have to address that as well. So typically, to grow to this point, you have one or two. I think Richard Sabe's co-pastor. And so you have a couple of key leaders that are there. Those key leaders need to spend a lot of time, particularly we can jumpstart with two key leaders, getting maybe 2 to 3 people each who are going to become leaders of leaders, not just leaders, but leaders of leaders.
That's good.
And so that's a shift, right?
So instead of him focusing, him actually having his leaders focus on empowering some other people.
Okay. Now, every nation has a strong history of raising up strong leaders. That's sort of what one of the things I know about them and I've affirmed about them at their recent meeting. So to spend some time in discipling relationships with leaders, okay, so to break the 125 barrier, I want to have 5 to 10 leaders, but I want to have 4 to 5 leaders of leaders.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of identifying who those men and women are going to be, spending time with them and then empowering them. So at 125, I should have a, we use the term life group just generically, but whatever you call your small groups. I should have a life group coordinator that's not a staff member. Mm-hmm. I should have a children's ministry coordinator that's not a staff member. I should have a assimilation coordinator that's not a staff member. I should have a greeting team leader that's not a staff member. So all of these things I'm pushing away from the, I'm assuming he said co, so that's probably 2, but could be more, but let's say 2. All these things I'm pushing away from the staff. So I'm spending time with those leaders of leaders. So the life group coordinator is going to be a leader of leaders.
Yeah.
The greeter coordinator is probably going to be a leader who has some volunteers, so 2 tiers at this point. So I'm seeking to intentionally and strategically develop leaders of leaders and leaders and then push significant things off of my plate so that they will then create a sense of ownership. Because when they have a sense of ownership, then they have a sense that leadership will actually be more evident, and the base, you know, you've seen like a pyramid, you put more sand on it, it's got to have a bigger base. The base expands and more people can connect. So 100 people engaged in a higher cultural engagement, and then a sense of leaders and leaders of leaders.
So as the pastor begins to develop more leaders and spend more time with these leaders of leaders,
right,
how would you say he or she should begin investing their time differently? So yes, they are spending more time with leaders, but you know, percentage of time, does anything else change as well as they try to go beyond the 125 to 200?
That's a good question. It's a good question. And of course, we don't want to give simplistic answers either. You know, there's a lot of complicated stuff here. And so but part of it is that over time, the needs of the congregation have begun to sort of catch up, and more others, and more needs. More, you got to plan this, you got to take care of that. Pastoral care. I mean, we want that, right? We want those things. So what I would do, I think you have to protect the time with leaders and the lost. That's 2 L's that we often talk about. More time with leaders, more time with the lost. Because I think you have to model to the congregation that evangelistic outflow, that outward focused approach. So that's the spending time with the lost. And then the leaders is just a discipline. It's just a discipline of spending time with them. Now, mind you, you know, Toronto. Back to the Toronto thing, right? So now, not everywhere is Toronto, but Toronto, I mean, downtown Toronto is a secular. It's a post-Christian secular environment. So I think that, and I don't know how long. I think I know this church, right? So I don't remember how long they've been at it. But 125 is the typical attendance after. Well, gosh, in our Canadian research, it doesn't break 100.
Not even after 3 years.
Not after 3 years. And I think so that's a substantive start.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, don't grow discouraged at 125, because you know what, every nation has a lot of churches that have grown pretty substantially, right? So don't grow discouraged by that. but recognize that you're going to continue to focus in on leaders and the lost, building systems and structure. So the thing I would say last is when you talk about systems and structure, one of the things and why a lot of churches kind of don't break the 125 or the 200 barrier is because the pastor doesn't think in systems approaches. Now I'm not mad about that. I love people who don't think in systems approaches, but you can't grow a church past 125 if you don't think in a systems way. Not saying at all Richard doesn't do that. But there's a great there's an interview I did a few years ago with a guy named Darren Patrick.
And we'll have those in the show notes.
Yeah, too, in the show notes. Good. Yeah. Okay, so in the interview, I asked him, why do churches stay small? And here's what he said. He said, largely because most pastors don't know how to build systems, structures, and processes that are not contingent upon them.
That's good.
Most pastors can care for people but don't build systems of care. Most pastors can develop leaders individually but lack the skill to implement a process of leadership development. When a pastor can't build systems and structures that support ministry, the only people who are cared for or empowered for to lead are those who are near the pastor or those very close to the pastor. This limits the size of the church to the size of the pastor. Mm-hmm. So that's why when we're talking about leaders and leaders of leaders, that leaders of leaders is going to be the one that breaks the structural pattern, and that creates an ability for larger and more substantive growth. And that's the hardest one to develop. Now again, what I would do is I would spend time learning about how to develop leaders, how to help leaders of leaders develop into their leadership role. Spend some time coaching yourself up. Mm-hmm. You be a better leader, but also recognize it takes time. You know, this church planting is a long, hard slog. Mm-hmm. Toronto is a challenging location. It's hard soil in many ways. And so just continue to stay focused on those things. And that's true for all of us. We can be more effective as we build those systems.
Yeah, one of the things that you have to be aware of is, okay, what are the things that you can only uniquely do, right? So spending time with leaders, it's one of those things that you can uniquely do so that you're spending time with them so that they can go and lead the small group ministry or the guest services. And part of doing that is equipping those leaders to know how to train and teach others. And that's why I want to do a quick shout out to Ministry Grid, because on Ministry Grid, we have volunteer leadership development training. So you can go to your leader of small groups and say, hey, you know what? On Ministry Grid, there's all of this training as to how to facilitate our life group or how to build a system for life groups and same with guest services. And in fact, if you're a church planter, I know Richard, you're kind of beyond that 2-year mark, but if you're planting a church you're in your first 2 years, you actually get a free year of Ministry Grid.
Yeah, and I think the don't, this is a conversation I just had with a staff member, don't take all the time to build the systems yourself. Mm-hmm. Find them, take them off the shelf, modify them.
Yes.
This is a huge issue.
That's church the golden planners, rule.
Oh, yes. But church planners tend to be, I don't know, the super creative types.
Yeah.
You don't need to be entrepreneurs. You need to be franchisees when it comes to this. You need to say, you know, I'm sort of a lot like this church. How can I use their resources? Now, again, when you have more time, then you can be more entrepreneurial. But if you have to develop everything from scratch, you won't be raising up leaders and you won't be engaged in the lost.
And it really comes to a starting point issue. One of the things that I commonly hear from church planners is, you know, it's you know, ministry here is not like anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And we can say that about Toronto. Downtown Toronto is certainly unique. But so is a whole lot of other places. And we sort of sometimes we try to out-impress each other.
Yeah.
But Toronto, I mean, there's some great church plants going on in Toronto. We know that. We know God can and is at work there. But there are also challenges in any of those places. And you can take some things, do some training. So let's say, well, you know, the resources on developing a greeting team, you know, aren't exactly what I need in the theater that I'm in downtown Toronto. Okay, well, great. Well, tell them that.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend 50 hours redeveloping. You say, listen, just contextualize this to our own setting. What does that mean, contextualize? We'll make it work for our context. Oh, okay. And then they go do it, and they become the expert. You don't have to do everything. You help others become experts and become the leaders.
Yeah, and what I love about that key phrase that you had said earlier, spend time with the leaders and the lost. Because as your church continues to grow, there are going to be more people who want time with you. And we talked about this in our previous episodes about a loss of intimacy that your core group may lose as the church continues to grow.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. Because there's a sense that it's hard. You know, so, now, it depends upon the person. You know, I'm... People who come to the churches I plant come because they believe in the vision, not because they find me like, you know, warm and fuzzy for coffee. But if you're warm and fuzzy for coffee, you know, and then that becomes less and less because there are other people. It's like, hey, wait, where did our relationship go?
Yeah, exactly.
So make sure that, remember what Darren Patrick said, right? You don't have to care for everybody, but you have to create systems of care so that everybody's cared for.
Exactly.
And so, but that systems approach is just so, we keep coming back to it. A systems approach to church planning is really, really key. By the way, Harry Fowler is a name you wouldn't know, but the first person I read writing on this, it was called Breaking Barriers of New Church Growth. And shout out to him. He was a Fuller, you're a Fuller grad. Yeah, he's a Fuller guy. I think he was doing his DMin at Fuller.
Okay.
And he wrote it on this. And it's really helped identify some of the barriers and systems, and leaders, he says are the key.
Right on. Well, you know what? This is our last episode for 2015.
Woohoo!
So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.